Good morning. We're going to start with a little reading from Matthew chapter 4, verse 16. The people dwelling in darkness have seen a great light, and for those dwelling in the region and shadow of death, on them a light has dawned. That sounds dark and foreboding, but it's the beginning of all the light. It's my great pleasure to introduce Julie today. Advent, what a perfect season in which to hear more about the Petersons' experience in Africa and other wisdoms from Julie. Mission work in Africa, once known as the Dark Continent, who knows what that really means, by the way, because people misunderstand. It's because it was the last of the nations that had been colonized by Europe to be understood. It was hard to get into, and people had much misunderstanding about it. That's the reason for that name. But our whole world is a dark continent, a fitting metaphor for our own heart's work during Advent, making the rough places a plain of repentance, that our valleys of sorrow may rise to meet the Savior, rejoicing that our Messiah will soon be with us. I've always felt a kinship with this mission in Nigeria. Julie knows that. As a little girl, I intended to grow up, become a nurse, and journey to Africa to work with Dr. Albert Schweitzer, the famous missionary and medical missionary and theological scholar, bringing healing to those who suffered there. Unfortunately, Dr. Schweitzer died at the age of 90 in 1965, which was the year I became a nurse. So other plans took place. But my uncle, Pastor Norbert Reim, and Aunt Celeste were missionaries in Nigeria in the post-war years for 13 years. And so as a little girl, like Olivia, I grew up thinking much about Africa. So I have a vicarious appreciation for the work being done by Julie and Dave in Africa, and a true eagerness to hear with you, our sisters, more of Julie's work. Julie Peterson is a local project. She graduated from Puyallup High School and then WSU, go Cougars, with a degree in history and education. She met David Peterson in Puyallup Presbyterian Church. Their first conversation was about mission work. They married in 1989. Their first years, 1990 through 92, they taught at the American School in Shanghai, China, where the eldest of their four daughters was born. In 1997, Julie and Dave began mission work in Madagascar. There they started work with Rafiki. In 2003, they joined Rafiki in Nigeria. Julie worked as the financial director, wrote the curriculum for the preschool and kindergarten programs, and is still the child care director. We're so blessed that they have chosen to spend their sabbatical here with us. Please welcome Julie Peterson.
Thank you, Sally, and thank you all of you for allowing me to come and speak this morning. It has been a privilege to be in this church. We've spent time here every summer that we've been here, but to be here full-time has been an encouragement to us in many, many ways. I think I'm going to have to use my glasses.
I've reached the age.
And I want to especially thank Diana and Liz for your songs. Those songs hold memories for me, and I'll just touch on that. Last Christmas in Nigeria at the Rafiki Village, I was. We've had other people who have directed plays, but there wasn't anyone, so I did the Amal and the Night Visitors. I found a script online, and we did Amal and the Night Visitors. But I thought, I want to hear them sing, too. And so I asked David to have them sing Do You Hear What I Hear? And it was just beautiful. And I was blessed to hear you sing it as well. And Liz, when we were in Madagascar, which is a French-speaking country, I taught our girls Un Flambeau, Jeannette, Isabella. So those both hold Christmas, African Christmas memories for me. Well, last Sunday, our family was blessed to attend the Seattle Pacific University's Sacred Sounds Advent Concert in Seattle. As the choirs processed, we were in McCall Hall, and as the choirs processed in singing a familiar song, tears just streamed down my cheeks unchecked. As the beauty and poignancy of the song touched me deep, deep down inside. O come, Emmanuel, and ransom captive Israel that mourns in lonely exile here until the Son of God appears. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel has come to thee, O Israel. As Sally mentioned, kind of not an upper in many ways. It starts in kind of a downer. It's not a happy, festive, deck the halls kind of song, is it? But rather, it's a pleading prayer. It's a pleading prayer punctuated, really, with the promise of hope. It's a promise of hope. Even the theme of this gathering this morning, rejoice, came out of Lynn's mouth as the weary world rejoices. And she said, I think people are really weary right now. And to be honest, I have to agree in many ways. I look out there and I see lots of smiling faces. But at times there are weary, weary days and weary, weary times of life. So this morning I wanted to spend some time talking about our weariness in a way, our rejoicing and what that all has to do with Christmas. And I'm going to kind of wrap it all together with some Christmases in Africa and some verses from the God's Word as well. Well, to begin with, as Wesley in The Princess Bride says, life is pain. Anyone who says differently is selling something. Well, isn't that a cheery thought? In fact, we do live in exile. As believers, we live in exile. And sometimes the pains of life are more pronounced around Christmas time than any other time of the year. The pains of life, such as struggling with a budget already stretched to the limit, looking for work, missing family members who live far, far away or have died, struggling to relate to family members who are not believers and seem to believe and think differently about everything. Dealing with long-term and terminal illness in what should be the prime of life. Those are some of our daily struggles that all of you have probably experienced at some time or another. Well, our family has been distant from the struggles in the U.S., but we have had our own certain struggles in Africa around the holidays. In our 15 years of mission work, we have spent one previous Christmas in the U.S. with family. We miss home. At Christmas time, we miss the beauty of the Christmas trees and the carols and all of those things that are part of our cultural Christmas, but are still beautiful things. In Africa, nothing seems quite right around a holiday. The weather's wrong. The decorations seem tacky, and even Santa is skinny and comes with the name Père Noël, or Father Christmas. But through it, God has helped us refine what is really important at Christmas time. And that is the truth about the story. The focus is on the truth of the word and what God did at Christmas time. My work as the child care director at the Rafiki Village means that I am ultimately responsible for Christmas preparations for 111 orphans. Tailor-made traditional Nigerian clothing has to be ordered at least 3 months in advance and sometimes arrives at the last minute. Christmas cards for over 300 sponsors are prepared in October. A simple gift is chosen and wrapped. Advent devotions are distributed and explained to the mothers. A special evening service is prepared. School vacation games are planned and implemented. Holiday meals are chosen. All of these details for our bigger family create a holiday tension that can be a little bit overwhelming at times. But God has used it also to help us to keep our focus on Him. While not every activity has a Bible verse attached to it, we ask ourselves if it's true, if it's good, if it's beautiful, whether it glorifies God, and if it brings joy to our holy day celebration. We want to keep it free from the trappings of the world's Christmas celebration, and that's really helped me to keep my focus. In addition, we've had some very painful experiences around Christmas. In mid-December of 2010, Elijah, one of the boys at Rafiki, about 12 years old, became inexplicably ill. His illness seemed to carry some psychosomatic symptoms, and we were very, very confused. He ended up in the hospital, where he lingered without progress over the holidays and died shortly after the new year. On Christmas Eve just last year at Rafiki, we were having our village 9 lessons and carols. It was Christmas Eve. Everyone had on their new clothes and was looking forward to going outside the village to church the next morning. And having an extra special meal on Christmas Day and cookies even that they had made themselves. I was leading the closing song, Go Tell It on the Mountain, which is one of my favorite Christmas memories in Nigeria because there's an exuberance you can't imagine. But as I was leading, I could see in the back David and our village director, Melanie, conferring. What I hadn't heard from the front was a significant boom from somewhere in the distance. Bombs had exploded in 3 places in the city, directly targeting Christians. Our plans for Christmas Day services in town changed, and we hastily prepared a service at the village. We had done the same 2 years previously when similar security concerns had forced us to stay home. Needless to say, sadness, disappointment, and a little apprehension filled the air, not just Christmas cheer. So that just gives you a little idea about some of the weariness that we've experienced at Christmas time in Nigeria and Africa. But you, I know, have your own thoughts of what you've dealt with in your own life over the years, whether at Christmas time, whether this year or another year. Well, the Bible has something to say about this. And what it is rejoice. As I reviewed various verses in the Bible, I began to notice a trend. Rejoice is often given as a command. Rejoice. It doesn't say, I want you to rejoice. It's rejoice. It's very much of a command. And it's frequently coupled with pain, grief, sorrow, all of those things that we don't want to have as part of our lives, but they are. I want to look at some verses in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 1 to 9, and see how God's word will encourage us to rejoice today and through the season. So let me read. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to the pilgrims of the dispersion in Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia, elect according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, in sanctification of the Spirit, for obedience and sprinkling of the blood of Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace be multiplied. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and that does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. Well, in these first couple of verses, Peter is addressing believers who've been dispersed and to some degree are living in exile. It seems like it's dawning on all these Christ followers that the culture to which they so easily belonged before is no longer their home. They are no longer comfortable or even welcome in their societies. What a surprise that must have been. Just as Jesus came into the world and the world did not receive him, the followers are experiencing some of those same things. Peter helps them focus on what they need to know. And he begins with the reminder that they have been chosen by God and saved by Jesus Christ. Chosen by God to receive the true Christmas gift, shall we say. Verses 3 through 5, Peter then spends some time encouraging believers that they have real hope in Jesus. It has nothing to do with what the world treasures or holds fast to in times of trouble. Many people chase after earthly pleasures and treasures at Christmas time. Let's make sure that we're seeking things of the Lord that are worthwhile and remind ourselves that we have something better waiting for us in heaven. Our Christmas gift is unbreakable. It won't go out of style, and it will always be beautiful. The next couple of verses, Peter then explains to believers that even while we grieve through trials, our faith is being tested for a purpose, to purify it. That is why we can rejoice in suffering. It draws us into deeper, trusting faith, which means we can then honor the Lord in a greater way. And we need to remember that this Christmas gift of faith and perfection is priceless. Verses 8 and 9, finally Peter reminds believers that just as we believed on Jesus for our salvation by faith and not by sight, so we ought to live each day by faith and in joy. We know what the future holds by faith. We know what Emmanuel means, God with us. That phrase alone should cause us to rejoice with inexpressible joy. Let us hold fast to that truth and give an account to others of that joy. Our Christmas gift should give us joy every day. So this season of Christmas, let's spend some time asking ourselves, what is it that we're celebrating and why do we have reason to celebrate? To remind ourselves of the answer to that. Think about what it is you're looking for hope in, or treasures. Are you searching for a treasure somewhere else than Jesus? Is there a grief that you're bearing? And how does God want to use it to purify your faith? And in what situation do you need to actively remember that God is with you and have joy in that situation? While I don't think I've provided any proven formulas for helping each of us rejoice during Christmas, I think simply being reminded of the truth helps us, helps you and me look up with hope, see our faith strengthened, and glorify God. Christmas, we might say, belongs to believers more than anybody else. We really know how special that baby in the manger is. So in spite of life and because of Jesus, let's rejoice. I want to have us take some time, maybe thinking about the questions I proposed at the end, and just turn to the, you know, a few people around you, in front of you or in back of you, and spend just a few minutes talking about rejoicing, your Christmas thoughts, your Christmas struggles, some of the things that were proposed in this. Just a few minutes to discuss some of those ideas, and then I think Lynn will be coming up to wrap things up at the end.